This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse 216, which, I believe, if we internalize this verse, if we understand it properly, and if we view every law in Islamic history, or in the books of fiqh and in the Sharia, through the lens of this verse, then it will help us to understand and to follow Islam better. We live in a time where there are a lot of doubts and questions that people have about Islam. And very often, these questions or doubts, they all come from a place of why? You know, why does Islam have this law? Why does Islam have that law? Why does Islam prohibit this? Why does Islam prohibit that? Why does Islam allow this? Why does Islam command that? And very often, we become too obsessed with the why. Now, there's the other extreme where we don't explain the why at all or ever, right? That's never been my methodology. But there's also a level where we become too obsessed with the why, to a level that we want a logical, rational reason that we can understand for every little thing. And the truth is, there isn't always a reason that you can understand behind everything. There may not be a logical way to explain to you why Maghrib Salah is 3 rak'ah instead of 4 rak'ah. There may not be a logical reason behind why we wash our face 3 times instead of 4 or 5 times when we make wudu. A lot of laws are simply sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey. A lot of times the laws of Islam boil down to trusting Allah and obeying Allah. So in our time, you have a lot of these questions. People want to know, why does Islam, have a concept of jihad? Why does it have such harsh penalties for crimes? You know, why are there, these restrictions of hijab and covering in a certain way and a certain gender roles in the marriage? Why? And too often this comes from a place of assuming that the morals of other cultures is correct, and Islam needs to answer to that. And Islam needs to get in line with that. But this should not be our attitude. Our attitude should be that Allah knows best. Allah knows best, and we obey Allah. And there is a verse in the Quran that's profound because it's actually talking about jihad specifically. The verse talks about jihad, but in this verse, Allah gives us a moral principle, a philosophy of life, you can say, that you can apply to any of the laws of Islam, to any law in Islam that you do not understand the reason or the wisdom behind. You can take this verse and you can apply it, and you can find peace in it. And this is verse 216 of Surah Baqarah. So, in this verse, the backstory, this verse was revealed very early on, right? Around the time of the Battle of Badr, when jihad first became an obligation. And there were people in Medina who were not happy about this. There were people in Medina who were not happy about the idea of war being a religious obligation. And there were rumblings about this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a very powerful verse that you can really take it, even though it's about jihad, you can apply to any of the laws of Islam. And that verse is, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ. Jihad is an obligation upon you, even though you don't like it. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُكْرِهُ شَيْءًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And maybe you don't like something, but it's good for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْءًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. And maybe you love something. Maybe you love something, but it's bad for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows, you don't know. Allah knows, you don't know. It's a very powerful verse. We should take the time to digest it, to reflect on it, to internalize it, to make it our lens through which we view the entire Sharia. Allah knows and you don't know. It's a very simple but profound answer. And it links directly to two of the names of Allah, the Asma'ul Husna, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know Him to be Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim, from the word hikmah. Hikmah means wisdom. Al-Hakim means infinite. infinitely wise. Allah's wisdom is infinite. He understands what we don't. His laws are derived from that infinite wisdom. None of us are going to attain infinite wisdom in our lifetime or anything close to it. So there will always be laws where we don't understand the wisdom behind it because we don't have that level of wisdom. We go into life and we're learning. How many times have there been things in our life which we thought were, you know, we thought we were right and everybody else was wrong, and as we got older we realized, oh, you know, they had a point. When wisdom sets in, we realized our elders had a point. How many times did that happen? And that's just human wisdom. We're talking here about infinite wisdom. And this is something that we need to internalize when it comes to the Sharia. The Sharia is built upon infinite wisdom. It is built upon the fact that our Creator is most wise, infinitely wise. It's also built upon the name of Allah directly related to this verse. Allah says in this verse, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ. Allah knows best. And this is linked to Allah's name, Al-Alim, infinitely knowledgeable, the one who knows everything, the one who knows best. Allah knows best. Internalize this. Allah's laws are based on His wisdom and His knowledge. That means sometimes we understand the rationale. We understand why alcohol is haram. Right? Because we've seen the destructive results of alcoholism and intoxication in our community. So we understand it. We understand why murder is haram. We know what murder does to society. Sometimes we understand it. Sometimes we may not. Sometimes we don't have that level of knowledge or wisdom to understand why Allah wanted this way and not that way. In this verse, Allah is calling upon us to trust His wisdom, to trust His knowledge. That if you believe that there is no creator besides Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, and that Allah is all knowledgeable, that Allah is infinitely wise, then you must trust the laws of Allah even when you don't understand it. And you can take this verse and apply it to anything in the Quran and Sunnah. Any law of Islam that you don't understand, you can take this verse and you can apply it. Yes, it was revealed about jihad, but the principle is universal. Allah knows and you do not know. It's a universal principle that can be applied to any aspect of our religion. So let's break down this verse a bit more and understand each part and how it helps us to become more confident in the Sharia and in Allah's laws. Allah tells us, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَوَكُرْهُ لَكُمْ. Jihad is an obligation upon you, even though you don't like it. Right here in this verse, one of the lessons we can extract is that there will be obligations that we don't like. We will be asked by Allah to do things that our nafs does not want to do. You don't have to like every obligation. Yes, as you grow in piety, you will learn to love it. But at the beginning of your spiritual journey, you may not like it. You may not like observing hijab, but you do it for the sake of Allah. You may not like waking up for Salatul Fajr, but you do it for the sake of Allah. You may not like fasting, but you do it for the sake of Allah. You don't have to like an obligation to do it. Right? In reality, a lot of the obligations in Islam are there to curb our nafs, to control our desires. And that means on an internal level, there is going to be a part of you who doesn't like it. And you have to fight it. That's what Tazkiyat al-Nafs is about. It's about fighting that side of you that doesn't like the commands of Allah and overcoming it. And over time, learning to love the laws of Allah. You may not love it in the beginning. You may not enjoy praying 5 times a day when you first start. You may find it to be an inconvenience. You may find it to be difficult. Over time, you can learn to love it. As your spirituality grows and your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grows, you learn to love it. It's the same with observing hijab. It's the same with any of the laws of Islam. So right here from this verse, you can understand that there may be times that Allah commands us to do something and we don't like it. But we do it anyway because we trust Allah. And that's what the next part of the verse tells us. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُكْرِهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. Maybe you don't like something, but it's good for you. So Allah is now drawing our attention to the fact that there are aspects of the Sharia that we may not like, but Allah has obligated or allowed it because it's what's best for society. Or what is best, it may be best for your soul, it may be best for society, it may be best for the family. You may not like it on a personal level, but you do it for the sake of Allah. Right? And there are many, many aspects of the religion that may be like this. And when you come across a law in Islam that you personally may struggle with, you may not like it, right? Like some ladies don't like the fact that a man's allowed 4 wives in Islam, right? You may not like it, but Allah allowed it because it's what's best for society on the broader level, right? And sometimes you don't like it and you just submit because it's what Allah wants. Allah knows what's best for us. Some people don't like, you know, that they have to go to the masjid, especially with their business. You know, sometimes the test comes that your business is booming and it's Jum'ah time. And Allah has commanded you in the Quran that when the azan for Jum'ah goes, go to the masjid and leave your business. You don't like it. You don't like leaving the business. You're losing all the profits. Do it for Allah. Allah knows what's best for us. Allah knows what's best for us. We may think that that business is best for us. It may not be best for us. It may not be good for our soul. It may affect our greed, our materialism, our desire for dunya. It may cause us to love money more than Allah. But Allah knows what is best for us. And we have to understand this. That one of the lessons that we derive from this verse is that if something is allowed by Allah explicitly, and more so if something is obligated by Allah, there has to be benefit in it. There has to be benefit in it. How do we get this from the verse? Because Allah says, وَهُوَ خَيْرُ لَكُمْ. It's good for you. Allah is saying, even the laws of Islam that you don't like, it is good for you. Meaning, if you don't understand the law of Islam, that doesn't take away from the fact that that law is beneficial. That doesn't take away from the fact that there is benefit in you following that law, even if you don't understand it. You may only understand it 10, 20, 30 years down the line. Right? But if you follow it today, you won't have regrets. If you go against it, maybe too late when you find out, I should have listened, I should have obeyed Allah. And it's the same with the opposite. وَأَسَى أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْءًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ. Maybe you love something and it is bad for you. And again, the beauty of the precise language of the Quran. Allah did not say, perhaps you like something and it is bad for you. Allah said, perhaps you love something and it is bad for you. This means every single believer will have to struggle with the fact that there are things in this dunya that you love that are haram. And you need to control your nafs and avoid the thing that you want. Everybody has this struggle. And it's different for each person. Right? It is different for each person. Maybe as a man you love looking at women. Allah commands you to lower your gaze. Maybe as a woman you love displaying your beauty, but Allah commands you to cover up. Maybe you love to do something, but it is bad for you. You don't understand how it is bad for you. But the fact that Allah prohibited it means it is bad for you. وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. Allah uses the word shar. Shar means evil. Allah is telling us that these things that we love in this dunya that are haram, there is evil in it. We don't know the evil. We don't understand the evil. We want it. You know, sometimes we want people to pass fatwas in our favor. Well, just make it halal. You know, times have changed. Culture has changed. The world has changed. Just make it halal. Just ignore that verse. Just ignore the hadith. Just say it doesn't apply to our times. No, you can't do that. You can't mess with the laws of Allah. Yes, the secondary fiqh issues do change from culture to culture and necessity and harm and all that. But that is something that ulama have to do using the principles of their madhab. It's not something that anyone can do as they wish. But we're talking about fundamentals here. We're talking about the Sharia. We're talking about matters upon which there are consensus, things that are clear in the Quran and Sunnah. You can't ask someone to change it because you don't like it. Because Allah is telling you there's going to be laws you don't like. Allah is telling you there's going to be things in this world you love. You can't do it. You can't do it because it is bad for you. And from this, we derive one of the goals of the Sharia. Shaykh Ibn Ashur, rahimahullah, in his Risala on Maqasid al-Sharia, he stated that the overall goal of Islamic law of Sharia is the removal of harm and the attainment of benefit. That anything Allah has prohibited is harmful, that's why He has made it haram. And anything Allah has obligated is beneficial, that's why He has made an obligation. And this verse is one of the evidences that He brings. That you like something and it is harmful to you. You dislike something and it's beneficial to you. Therefore the law is beneficial and the prohibitions are because those things are harmful. There may be people who like alcohol, who love alcohol, but for the sake of Allah they need to give it up. There may be people who love to gamble, but for the sake of Allah they need to give it up. There may be people who enjoy zina, but for the sake of Allah they need to give it up. If Allah has prohibited something, there is harm in it, even if you don't understand the harm. You give it up for the sake of Allah. And that brings us to the final part of the verse, which is that وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows, you don't know. Allah knows, you don't know. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I want us to think about this. Anytime you come across a verse of the Quran that goes against your desires, anytime you come across a law in the Quran or Hadith or in the books of fiqh that goes against what you want it to be, that goes against what you want, that you don't understand, I want you to tell yourself this verse. Remind yourself of this verse. Remind yourself, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُ. Allah knows and you do not know. Learn to trust the knowledge of Allah. Learn to trust the wisdom of Allah. You cannot go wrong by obeying Allah. At the end of the day, this is the test of life. The test of life is whether we are going to obey Allah or not. And if you take this verse of the Quran and you apply it to any of these doubts that people have today, you will find that if someone truly understands this verse, that doubt will go away. If someone wants to know, why does Islam allow jihad? Why does Islam have harsh penalties for crime? Why does Islam have different rules for men and women and different roles for men and women in the family? Why does Islam do this and why does Islam do that? Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamu. Allah knows, you do not know. That's what it boils down to. And by the way, Allah gave the same answer to the angels. When the angels asked him, why are you creating human beings? Why are you creating humans who are going to kill each other and cause chaos? Allah said, I know, you don't know. He said that to the angels, He said that to us. That should be our way of interpreting everything in this religion. Allah knows best. Learn to have that tawakkul in Allah. Learn to be confident in Allah's knowledge and wisdom. Learn to be confident in the Sharia. Learn to accept that the law of Allah is what is best for us. And if we do so, our hearts will find peace with those laws, even the ones that contradict our nafs, because we know that perhaps we love something and it is bad for us. And perhaps we dislike something that is good for us. And we know that Allah knows and we know not. Subhan rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين ونستغفره ونؤمن به توكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أما بعد. So when it comes to the laws of Islam, we said that every law of Islam is based on divine wisdom. But we need to add a footnote here. And that footnote is, we don't always know what that divine wisdom is. We can understand it most of the time. We can understand the divine wisdom behind the prohibition of alcohol. We can understand the divine wisdom behind the prohibition of zina. But we can't always know it. You know, why do we make tayammum when there's no water? Just touching sand and wiping our face. Allah knows best. You know, why do we have to pray Fajr so early in the morning? Allah knows best. Why is it 2 rakats, not 4 rakats? Allah knows best. So there's a principle in the books of fiqh, right, in the books of Maqasid al-Sharia. Now it's interesting, Maqasid al-Sharia is the science of understanding the wisdom behind Allah's laws. Right? Maqasid al-Sharia is the science of understanding the wisdom behind Allah's laws. But in the books of Maqasid, you will find that the scholars make a distinction between those laws that we can understand the wisdom behind and those laws that we can't. And every major scholar in this field has written about this. And every major scholar in this field has said that there are some laws in Islam that we do not know the wisdom behind it, but we still trust Allah's wisdom. They even have a technical term for this. In the books of fiqh, this is called ta'abbudi. Ta'abbudi. What does ta'abbudi mean? It means you are following this law out of worship of Allah, even though you don't understand it. Ta'abbudi, from the word ibadah, means that this law is an act of worship. Right? When you see the word ta'abbudi in the book of fiqh, it means the scholar who is telling you the ruling does not understand the wisdom behind the law, but he understands that this is the law of Allah and what we need to follow. So the very fact that this term exists means that there will be laws in Islam that you and I don't understand. That you and I don't know the wisdom behind. And that's fine. You still have to follow it. You still have to obey. That's where the test comes in. It's not a test to follow a law that you understand. Right? If you understand the harms of alcohol, you're going to stay away from alcohol. Right? Because you understand it's rational. But if you don't understand why something is haram, and you're just staying away from it out of worship of Allah, out of obedience to Allah, this is now passing the test of life. This is now showing that you trust Allah more than your own self. This is now living the principle of sami'ana wa ata'ana. We hear and we obey. So understand that yes, sometimes we can explain things rationally, sometimes we simply say, Allah said it, we hear and we obey. Allah said it, we hear and we obey. And that is something that every single one of us need to internalize, and that is how we should assess the entire Sharia. It doesn't always have to make sense. It doesn't always have to match modern sensibilities. If Allah said it, obey it. We ask Allah for guidance, we ask Allah for the correct understanding, we ask Allah to grant us proper knowledge and understanding and practice of this religion. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, aqimis salat.